The Partial Breakaway Podcast with your hosts Nick and Junior and producer Vince, bringing you elite fantasy hockey information to help you win your fantasy leagues and win at life.
Episode 134 of the Partial Breakaway Fantasy Hockey Podcast. I am co-host Junior, accompanied by no one. For the first time ever on this podcast, I am flying solo because co-host Nick and producer Vince flew to a tropical destination for a well-earned family vacation. So as far as I can tell, they're enjoying themselves. They're having a great time. And we wish them well and a safe trip home. But as the saying goes, the show must go on. Our people are expecting a show, and here I am to deliver it. I'll do my best to get through this episode and provide you the information and knowledge you need to get through your week. We will have the usual odd man rush and partial breakaway listener league updates, schedules, and of course, strategies. The beauty of doing this alone is that for once, nobody's going to tell me to shut up and tell me that I talk too much. But at the same time, I do apologize, because you will hear this voice for the next 45 minutes, and I know how annoying that can get. So before we start, I just want to add that I want you to follow us on our social media channels, X, TikTok, Instagram, at Partial Break Pod, and like and subscribe on YouTube. This is the best and easiest way to support us, engage in the discussion. And if you just want to go on our socials to tell me how poor of a job I did here hosting this show alone, by all means, I'll take it. Just go on our socials and discuss and engage. With that being said, let's get this show on the road. The Odd Man Rush, where we take news, notes, and trends of the NHL and turn them into 30-second takes, which usually last 3 minutes. This segment is sponsored by Sportira at sportira.apparel on Instagram, www.sportira.com for all your apparel and team uniform needs. Okay. I mean, this is the partial, this is the Odd Man Rush, which today is probably going to be more of a breakaway, if you will, since I'm doing this solo. So there won't be any bells or any rebuttals, if you will, because I won't argue with myself. So to start it off, you guys already know that a couple of weeks ago, I put up a clip that Matthews had to either put up or shut up. And boy, oh boy, has he put up. I think the Leafs might be back. Right now, he's on a hot streak of 10 points in his last 4 games. Coming off a hat trick, I believe, against the Jets. So he's taking this team on his back without Nylander there, without Stolarz, the injuries on defense. Morgan Riley playing a game for the team is like, guys, if it wasn't for Matthews, Toronto would be probably in a lottery position right now. And it's about damn time that he showed up. So credit to him. Matthews is back. All you fantasy owners, including myself, are really happy to see that. And I'm interested to see how this goes going forward, especially when Nylander comes back. But the one thing I do want to say is the trouble of being so far behind in the standings, I get it right now. They're only about 2 points away from a wild card spot. The problem is, despite the good fortune or the good play that the Leafs have done and the wins they accumulated over the past week to 10 days, they haven't literally gained the spot in the standings. So they did get closer to the wild card, but they still have to leap the same 6, 7, or 8 teams that were in front of them. And that's the struggle of starting from behind and starting slow. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think they still have a tough time getting there.
But I do think by when it's all said and done, they will be in the hunt for that wild card spot as long as Matthews stays healthy. Now, Matthews had a hat trick versus the Jets. I think it was the week of the hat trick heroes. No Cooley, no problem for Dylan Gunther, who's been on fire. He also got a hat trick this week. Nishushkin and Zibanejad added hat tricks this week as well, finally showing signs of life. Nishushkin, prior to his hat trick, was on pace for 21 goals. And this is how fast things can change. After that hat trick, he's now on pace for 27. Still not quite as much as I was expecting for Nishushkin, but step by step. I'm glad to see he's getting more familiar and maybe he's starting to shoot more, which is nice. As for Dylan Gunther, I'll be honest, I probably did one of the worst mistakes I've done in a while. Since Cooley went out, I benched Gunther because he wasn't doing that well. I mean, he was all right, but he wasn't Gunther we know. The lethal sniper that's scoring goals after goals after goals. So I benched him in my weekly lineups. And it's 3 weeks now I have him on the bench. And it's since Cooley got hurt. And he's ripped me apart because he's been scoring. He has 4 goals in his last 3 games. He's got 9 points in his last 3, 6, 7 games. So he's been putting up and he's been carrying the load while Cooley's been gone. So credit to him, and hopefully you guys didn't make the same mistake I did. As for Mika Zibanejad, 5 points in the Winter Classic, 3 goals, 2 assists. They beat the Florida Panthers 5-1. I called it a Winter Classic, but let's be honest, it's not quite a Winter Classic when you're playing in Florida. In an indoor building, even though they opened the roof, it made the ice worse. Quite honestly, I think they should just stick to outdoor games. I know you want to get everyone involved. If you want to get certain teams involved, just do it. Have them play a team that has the capacity to play a winter classic. Let's be honest here. Lake Tahoe remains probably my favorite of them all. But yeah, also another poor marketing job by the NHL. The only reason I knew there was a Winter Classic game is because every year, January 1st or 2nd, we have a Winter Classic. But damn, market your game. It's one of the best scenes of the year, aside from playoffs. Market. Have previews day after day leading up to it. Do something. Get people engaged. Get people excited for it. And the fact that you did it in an indoor baseball stadium, even though you had the roof open, I think it took away from that excitement. I'm sure a lot of fans weren't excited to go to an indoor facility to watch an outdoor game. So poor job by the NHL yet again. Speaking of the Winter Classic, Matthew Tkachuk is approaching a return. He's been practicing with a non-contact jersey. The same goes for Seth Jarvis, JT Miller. And finally, Anthony Stolarz also skating for the first time since being put on IR. So all good signs. Stolarz is probably still a little while away. Hildeby and Wohl have been holding the fort, which is great. But Seth Jarvis, JT Miller, and Matthew Tkachuk should be coming back within the next 2 weeks, which is excellent news. From one Tkachuk to another, Brady Tkachuk gets sucker punched by Stanley of the Jets the other day. I think it was yesterday, who was subsequently suspended 1 game. And rightfully so. You know, I'm not a big fan of these sucker punches. But I will add that I know Brady Tkachuk was really frustrated and he was explaining that he couldn't fight because of his injured finger, his injured hand. But Matthew and Brady Tkachuk are not shy of laying the first punch before anyone else is ready with their gloves in a scrum or before a fight, you know. So he got a bit of the taste of his own medicine, and I kind of like that. I kind of like that, even though I don't like the idea of a sucker punch. We'll see how this goes. That's all I really have to say about that. Rossi of the Vancouver Canucks placed on IR. He couldn't really find his feet there since he's been there. He had a good start, but has since cooled off 1 point in his last 4 games. Yeah, who are we looking for to take the place? If Hedl can come back healthy, I mean, Vancouver's a bit of a mess right now in the sense that, like, they're not getting consistent scoring from anyone. I wouldn't even look for someone right now to take his spot. I would look elsewhere in a different team. More injuries. Devin Taves might be out a while, may or may not miss the Olympics. It's still to be determined, although he did say that until his baby is born, he will not leave his wife's side. So that'll be interesting. But in the meantime, from a Colorado Avalanche perspective, Girard is going to be teaming up and playing with Cale Makar. So that's something that you should look into, because he could be a good temporary fix or an on-off starter, depending on what you need at the time you need it. Tom Wilson from the Washington Capitals also got hurt. Doesn't seem like it'll be too long. We'll find out more probably tomorrow, so stay tuned. In Washington, you're looking probably at Leonard to take his power play spot. That would be nice. In salary cap leagues, that's an entry-level contract, so that's great, especially for PBLL. So that could be something to look into. We'll get to it later. I also want to mention Sordiff. Sordiff has been pretty good since getting an opportunity in the top six. He's been playing center, so Sordiff-Leonard is a nice little combination, both with very good contracts. Bo Horvat, another Olympian, which we'll get to in a bit, by the way, also hurt. He should be out about a week to 2 weeks. Calum Ritchie seems to be the second line center, but the Islanders always do everything by committee. There's never really any standouts, except, of course, Matthew Schaefer. So maybe take a chance with Calum Ritchie and see how that goes, but it's more of a committee thing with them. So again, like I said, with Rossi, I would look elsewhere for that replacement. And Seth Jones, another Olympian, out. We don't know the severity of it yet, so stay tuned tomorrow on your social medias. Maybe if we come across it, we'll definitely retweet or post it on our stories on Instagram. But Ekblad is the obvious replacement there. He's already been successful today in getting points on the power play. So Ekblad is your savior in that case. You can, it's a safe bet. More injuries back to Colorado. Blackwood to be reevaluated, but he seems like he's going to be missing some time. But no fear in Colorado, because there's more wood in the shed. Yes, Wedgwood. Wedgwood is available, and I mean, he's been putting up crazy numbers all year long, so I don't see why that's going to stop. In 26 games so far this year, he has 2.17 goals against average and a .917 save percentage, 18 wins and 2 losses, 4 overtime losses. So out of his 26 games played, 16 of them are quality starts. I could go on and on with his statistics, but all you need to know is that he's an extremely safe bet. He was kind of already still the starter in a 1A, 1B situation with Blackwood because he's been so good since the beginning. So I don't think you need to fear him having a letdown just yet. So that does it for the injuries. But since we're talking about Blackwood and Wedgwood, which are two snubs of the Olympic teams, I want to bring to your attention who was snubbed from Team Canada. And there's been debate after debate everywhere. And the reality is that we're splitting hairs. I mean, there was all these debates for the Four Nations rosters and U.S. and Canada specifically, and they both made it to the final, and the difference was an overtime goal. So from a Canadian perspective, I mean, the snubs, I'll list you the snubs. Here we go. Let's list these snubs here. We had Sam Bennett, who was on the Four Nations roster, which is no longer on it. Chychrun, Shifley, Bouchard, Wyatt Johnston, Bedard, and Matthew Schaefer. Just so you know, Chychrun is American, but he does play nationally for the Canadians. So that's the confusion there. But yes, he's eligible to play for Canada, not for US, because I think it was the World Juniors where he kind of decided he was going to play for Canada. And from there, that's the case. So, the biggest surprise for me, really, you know, a lot of people are going to say Bedard and maybe Bennett. Like Bennett, for how important he was at the Four Nations, for how important he was for Florida in every playoff series he's been a part of. I get it. It's a big snub. But I think it's really under, like, people don't realize how many games he's played, how many high-pressured games he's played in the last 3 years. That takes a lot. That takes a big toll on a player, especially a player that plays like he does. So whether that had something to do with it, I'm not sure. I do think it had something to do with the start of his season. And his start of the season is why he probably didn't make Team Canada over a guy like Tom Wilson. But for me, the biggest snub, I think, they took a chance with Celebrini, a young kid. I understand why they didn't take Bedard, especially coming off the injury. As much as they say the injury had nothing to do with it, I'm happy that they at least took one of those two, because they have a lot of firepower up front. But I think Matthew Schaefer, to me, is a big time snub. I think I'm not a big fan of the defensive core, but I will tell you that out of the three defensemen that I think were eligible to make this team, or were in discussion to make this team, which is Evan Bouchard, Jacob Chychrun, and Matthew Schaefer was the one that has shown at 18 years old that he can be clutch, that he could play in the big leagues. And now the only thing we don't know about Matthew Schaefer is in high-pressure games, how he can do. But I would have preferred a guy like Matthew Schaefer be the 7th, 8th defenseman on this team and gain that experience of being around such high-pressure games and games that are that important. And maybe get a shot, maybe not. That doesn't matter. But to be part of the experience would have done wonders for this kid and for Team Canada down the road in future Olympics and future World Championships and so on and so forth. So Matthew Schaefer, with the season he's having, 28 points in 48 games, 12 goals, just came off a ridiculous overtime winner versus the Toronto Maple Leafs. Big game, clutch goal. I would have had a guy like him over a guy like Drew Doughty. I really don't like the Drew Doughty pick. I mean, if you're going to take Drew Doughty, then don't take Colton Parayko. Colton Parayko is having one of his worst statistical seasons in his career, and they still took him. The same goes for Jordan Binnington, who, by the way, if he would play the Montreal Canadiens, would probably be the best every game. He would probably be the best goalie in the league. But I just don't understand that they didn't touch that defensive core at all. Now, we'll see with Devin Toews' injury what happens. But let me give you a quick breakdown of who made the team. So the forwards for Team Canada are Macklin Celebrini, Anthony Cirelli, Sidney Crosby, Brandon Hagel, Bo Horvat, Nathan MacKinnon, Brad Marchand, Mitch Marner, Connor McDavid, Braden Point, Sam Reinhart, Mark Stone, Nick Suzuki, Tom Wilson. So you'll notice that guys like Konechny, Jarvis didn't make the team. There's some new guys there like Nick Suzuki, Tom Wilson, Bo Horvat. I see a little bit of redundancy with the forwards, which maybe could have paved way for a guy like Connor Bedard. Like I find Nick Suzuki, Bo Horvat, even to a certain extent, Braden Point, Anthony Cirelli, they're like, to me, that's a little bit redundant. I know they want to play they want players that can play a 200-foot game. They want players that can play up and down the lineup, special teams, and so on. So I get it. Cooper has a Swiss Army knife of options. And the only way I'll give a pass here to Team Canada is that no one in this tournament has two generational, I think it's safe to say generational players in MacKinnon and McDavid and Crosby. So make that three. Even though Crosby is at the end of his career, he's still massively effective. To my point, nobody has that standard in their team. And I know you have Matthews in the American team. We'll get to the American team in a bit. You have Jack Hughes and so on, but nobody is to the level of Connor McDavid and Nathan MacKinnon on the same team. So that's the forward group. The defense is where I wasn't too crazy about the selections. Drew Doughty, Thomas Harley, Cale Makar, Josh Morrissey, Colton Parayko, Travis Sanheim, Shea Theodore, Devin Toews. Again, I mentioned it before. I don't want to go on and on about this. I mean, it's normal that this take is going to be a little longer, but I could have done without Doughty or Parayko. I would have brought in the kid. Matthew Schaefer should have been on this team. And if there's an injury, I pray to God that it's him and nobody else, please. As for the goalies, Jordan Binnington, Darcy Kemper, Logan Thompson. Look, Jordan Binnington is a big-time player. He's done it for St. Louis. He's won a cup with them. He's also, you know, he's not having a great statistical season. He just doesn't look good, period. But whatever, Armstrong wanted his boy on the team, so he got him. Darcy Kemper made the team, and Logan Thompson, two guys which weren't on the team in for the Four Nations. I'm hoping Logan Thompson is the starter here. He's been the most consistent and the better of the three goalies, even though Kemper has been pretty good as well this year. So, yeah, you know what? It's a pass. It's just a shame that Canada doesn't produce goalies anymore. And one final note on Team Canada before we move on to Team USA is Quebec, wake up. Wake up. There's no excuses, you know? There's no debate as to which Quebecer should have made this team. The problem is you're not producing elite players anymore. You were the grassroots, you were the leader of developing goaltenders. You develop nothing now. Nothing. So Hockey Quebec needs to get to the root of the problem and fix it, because this is not because of selective choices. This is because you're just not good enough. And they have the mecca of hockey in your province. Wake up. Sorry about that rant. Team USA. All right, so I'll name you the roster before we go move on to the snubs. This is going to be an interesting one. Partially biased on my part because I am a Habs fan. I won't hide it. We'll get to the debate in a bit, but here we go. Matt Boldy, Kyle Connor, Jack Eichel, Jake Guentzel, Jack Hughes, Clayton Keller, Dylan Larkin, Austin Matthews, JT Miller, Brock Nelson, Tage Thompson, Brady Tkachuk, Matthew Tkachuk, Vincent Trocheck, Brock Faber, Noah Hanifin, Quinn Hughes, Seth Jones, Charlie McAvoy, Jake Sanderson, Jacob Slavin, Zach Werenski, and the three elite goaltenders. You make your pick: Hellebuck, Ottinger, and Swayman. Now, we're going to talk about, I'll start with the forwards. I think there's three, I mean, the list could be longer probably, but I think there's three notable snubs on offense from a forward perspective, and that's Cole Caulfield, Alex DeBrincat, and Jason Robertson. Jason Robertson has 24 goals, 25 points, 25 assists, so 49 points in 42 games. He's pacing for 96 points. Alex DeBrincat has 42 points in 43 games. That's an 80-point pace. 22 goals on the season. On pace for close to 40, by the way. Cole Caulfield, 40 points in 42 games, 20 goals. Close to 40 goals as well, pacing for close to 40 goals. On a team that was one goal away, one snipe away, one shot away from the gold medal. On a team that benched and scratched Kyle Connor during the Four Nations when you needed one goal. If he wasn't good for you then, Kyle Connor, why did you bring him back when he's having a worse statistical season than the year before? Why not give a chance to a guy like Jason Robertson or Cole Caulfield that could change the game in an instant? Caulfield and Robertson have proven to be super clutch when the games mean something. Caulfield's been good in the playoff fight. He's been good in the playoffs. He's been good at the World Juniors. He's been good in college. He's been clutch in every single aspect of his NHL career, or his hockey career, I should say. But yet, Team USA, I don't know if they're thinking of playing big, slow, and feisty. But first of all, JT Miller's having an absolute terrible year, has a shoulder injury as we speak, should be coming back soon, but probably not going to be 100%. Brock Nelson skates like he has cement blocks in his pants. And Vincent Trocheck is just, like, how redundant can you get? Are you telling me Dylan Larkin can't do what Vincent Trocheck does? Are you telling me Matthew is one of the best two-way centers in the league can do what Trocheck is, you want Trocheck to do? I mean, you brought in Tage Thompson. That's great. That's new. That's nice. But again, big-bodied player. I mean, they have a lot of firepower. They have a lot of punch. I just think they could have done things a little differently. I just hope they're not here to play that same game they played in Four Nations, because it doesn't work. Play your skill game. At the end of the day, bet on skill. You're still building a team, and I appreciate that, and I understand that, and I don't doubt some of these picks, because I'm not saying that you don't need to make some of these picks based off team. It's not all about stats. I agree with Bill Guerin when he says that. But there's some selections here that could have been different, and not necessarily a checker for a sniper, a checker for a stat padding player. You know what I mean? So look, again, we're splitting hairs because this team is absolutely stacked in forwards, but let's take a look at their defensemen. So who was snubbed on defense for the Americans? Hold on, I have it here. So I think there's four names that come to mind. And the most prominent name is probably Adam Fox. I think they did this guy dirty. I don't know what the problem is with him and the management of the American team, but Adam Fox was probably the biggest snub. Lane Hutson, John Carlson, and Jackson Lacombe. Now, I'll start with Lane Hutson, and we'll talk about him a little later in the Odd Man Rush. All I want to say is that I can understand why he was not on this team. Because you already have Quinn Hughes and you already have Zach Werenski. So that's two very similar players, two very offensive players, smaller in stature. Did you really want to add a third one? But like I said in with the Canadian team, this would have been a good opportunity to bring him to get that experience. And you know what? If one of those guys goes down, you have another backup. You know, they have a bit more depth than the Canadians do on defense. And it shows, right? But I don't know, like, did you really need to bring Noah Hanifin? Or, I mean, you got Seth Jones, you got Brock Faber that are probably going to be more defensive. Charlie McAvoy, because he hasn't been an offensive defenseman in way, in so long. So you got Slavin, McAvoy, Seth Jones, Noah Hanifin, and Brock Faber. That's 5 out of 8 defensemen that are not there to provide offense. I think you could have done a 4-4 because Jake Sanderson is a bit of an all-around defenseman. I like that pick. I'm never going to question that. I'm not saying Lane Hutson should have been on this team to be a starter, but I think he would have been a good 7 or 8 option for this team. And then for goalies, there's no debating. Look, Hellebuck, Ottinger, and Swayman are the 3 best American goalies. They have Wolf coming up for when Hellebuck gets older. So they're stacked and they're set for a really long time. I just wish that Robertson or Caulfield would have made this team and that Hutson would have been one of the extra defensemen on this team. So we'll see how that goes. Lastly, let's just talk about Team Finland, and I'll tell you the roster for Team Finland and Team Sweden, which are the next two prominent teams of this. I mean, if we were to rank the top 4 teams of favorite teams, if you will, it would probably be Canada, US, Sweden, Finland. So I'll just give you a run of who's on this team. Sebastian Aho, Joel Armia, Michael Granlund, Eric Halla, Rupe Hintz, Kaapo Kakko, Oliver Kapanen, Kivrianta of Colorado, Arturi Lekkonen, Anton Lundell, Lusterainen, Mikko Rantanen, Tuevo Teravainen, Eli Tolvanen round up the forwards. I think those are just NHL forwards. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. Oh, no, that's it. Miro Heiskanen, Joki Harju, Lehtonen, Lundell, Mara, Mantipalo, Mikola, Ristolainen are the defense. And goalies are Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, Kevin Lankinen, and Jussi Saros. I think here they lack a bit of depth on defense, but they're still really a tough out. They've always been a very structured team. They remind me a lot of the Carolina Panthers, just not as much scoring. Not the Carolina Panthers. Wow, I got NFL stuck in my head. The Carolina Hurricanes, a well-structured team that now is starting to score more goals than we were used to seeing, but that never scored as many goals as usual, as we expected. So Finland is going to be a tough out, especially if they get goaltending. I just feel like they're missing a bit of those clutch offensive forwards. As for Team Sweden, Jesper Bratt, Leo Carlson, Joel Eriksson Ek, Philip Forsberg, Pontus Holberg, Adrian Kempe, Gabriel Landeskog, Elias Lindholm, William Nylander, Elias Pettersson, Ricard Raquel, Lucas Raymond, Alexander Wennberg, and Mika Zibanejad. That is the forward list. That is a pretty damn stacked list. On defense, they have Rasmus Andersson, Philip Broberg, Jonas Brodin, Rasmus Dahlin, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Gustav Forsling, Victor Hedman, Erik Karlsson. That's a nice round, nicely rounded defensive set there. And for goalies, well, they have the Minnesota duo, Filip Gustavsson, Jesper Wallstedt. Credit to Jesper Wallstedt. I'm really happy he made the team. He might not get the starts, or he might. We'll see. But again, Sweden, what I love about what Sweden did is they brought in a guy like Philip Broberg over a guy like Ekholm. Ekholm not having a great year. Philip Broberg had a good year and a half. Broberg didn't necessarily have a good statistical year, but he's been playing well. And I'm glad that they're giving an opportunity, whether he plays games or not. I'm also glad that a guy like Oliver Ekman-Larsson has earned his way onto this team with the important minutes and the point production he's done for Toronto, because he's carried that decor. If it wasn't for him, they'd get no points from the back end. So I'm really happy that they give someone who earned a spot, despite the fact that he is a bit older. So guys, Sweden's going to be a really tough out. They look really strong. They have offensive punch. They've got skill. They got size. They're also a well-structured team, so they could defend well. Their defense, you know, like who stands out at you? Obviously, from an offensive standpoint, you got Dahlin and Carlson, and Hedman too can always chip in. Rasmus Andersson. They got like a Swiss Army knife of defensemen, where they can all do many different things. Which is great for a coach. So the Olympics are going to be so much fun. I'm just glad the Olympics are back. And you know what? We'll see who's going to make me eat my words and who's not. For me right now, we'll talk about who's favorite and who's not. I got my eyes on Team Canada. I think Team Canada, until they won the Four Nations from the latest competition, sample size of competition we have, they looked the best and won. So they are the best, even though they didn't play all teams. I get that. The Americans were close. I just hope the mentality of the team changes for the Americans, because on paper, they probably have the team to be favorites. I just think until Canada is dethroned, they're going to be the favorites. So from one world tournament to another, if you will, the World Juniors. We'll do a quick update on the World Juniors. The Americans got ousted by the Finns in the quarterfinal. And then the Finns lost to Sweden in a shootout today, making their way to the final. As for the Canadians, they're currently at the end of the second period. They're down 3-2 to the Czechs. Whoa. This should be an interesting third period. I can't believe I'm missing it. But as we said before, the show must go on, guys. So, that's the roundup for the World Juniors. Team Sweden awaiting the winner of Czech and Canada. But let's take a look at who's been standing out. Zane Parekh, I think, has been the standout of this tournament. 10 points so far in this tournament. Actually, the top 3 point getters prior to today were Zane Parekh, Gavin McKenna, and Michael Hage. I think Michael Hage is really, he's starting to change my perspective. I thought he would be more of a second line, middle six center, with potential to be a really offensive player, but never quite getting there. Super effective. I still think he could be super effective as a second line center. Don't get me wrong. Like, that's still very, very good. But in this tournament, playing with skilled players, he's shown me that he likes the bright lights, which is great for a Montreal prospect. And he showed me that he's really good. He's really, really, really good. I just think he's still a bit small in stature, but that comes, you know, as he gets older, he'll develop physically, and that'll help. So Michael Hage really, really stood out to me so far from that perspective. The best goal scorer has been Schrenko from Team Slovakia with 5 goals. He's tied with Zellers and Frondell, Frändell with the shootout winner, by the way, for the Swedes. He's really also been really good this tournament, as advertised. Really, as advertised. From the defenseman perspective, I want to point out Alphonse Frege. He's tied for first with 7 assists. He's been really, really good. And from a goaltending perspective, the Swedish goalie Herrenstam, 4 wins so far already. You know, the Canadians' goalie dynamic was a bit weird. They all got a game in. Now Ivankovic is the starter for this semifinal game. That might be their downfall in the end. I thought that was their strength, but Carter George struggled, and now Ivankovic is in. We'll see how he does today. He's allowed 3 goals so far in 2 periods, but this is one of the funnest tournaments in the league. Funnest tournaments to watch, excuse me. And I get excited for it every year. And for those of you fantasy GMs out there that don't do dynasty leagues or don't do like long-term keeper leagues, you should. I mean, it's a little more time consuming. It takes a bit more effort. It takes a bit more knowledge, but that's why we're here. Like, you know, we'll give you that information. There's so much information about these young guys, these young prospects. And it's really something. And it gets you engaged in all these tournaments because you want to know, you want to see for yourself, what's this player that I have doing? How good is he? How does he put up against some of the best players of his age, you know? And I'll tell you something, another guy that's really stood out to me, and he's looking more and more clutch, and I expect him to probably score the tying goal in this game, Brady Martin. Nashville got a good one, Brady Martin. I thought it was a reach when they drafted him early in the first round. But Brady Martin in this tournament has shown me that when push comes to shove, this guy's legit. So look out for Brady Martin. I think especially the fact that he can hit, he can block, he can play all situations, and he's clutch. Man, in all leagues, in all fantasy leagues, this guy could be really, really a gem. He's a gem. Let's be honest. All right, moving on back to the NHL. All this country talk here. We're going to go back to the Carolina Hurricanes. Got it right this time. No Panthers, Hurricanes. The Carolina Hurricanes, I think, need to find a goalie, and they need to find a goalie fast. Kochetkov out for the year. Frederik Andersen is just not quite good enough. 5 wins, 10 losses in 17 games. He's at 343 goals against average, 866 save percentage. I think age and injuries have caught up with him. It's officially the beginning of the end for Frederik Andersen. I took a chance on him this year in one of my leagues, Llama, as a depth goalie. And even when he wins, he doesn't get me points. So what are they left with, you ask? Well, Brandon Boosie. Brandon Boosie, 14 wins in 17 games played, 225 goals against average, a 905 save percentage. And now you're like, okay, well, that's amazing. Why in the hell do you think they need to go get a goalie? Because he's only ever played 17 games in the National Hockey League, and it's been this year. He's 27, going on 28, has never had the starting role or any role in the National Hockey League till this year. And as much as his numbers are great, Carolina is in contention for the cup. And you can't be going into the playoffs with Boosie or Andersen as your goalies. You just can't. He cannot. We don't know. Like, this is a small sample size, 17 games. It's getting bigger and bigger, which is very impressive. But you can't just go at 27 years of age from never being in the league, or being in the NHL, I should say, because he was still in different organizations, but at the AHL level, and just come in and be the starter for a Stanley Cup contending team. I find that hard to believe. Some others will just follow the stats and be like, no, it's good. Some other goalies have done it to a certain extent. You know, the Aiden Hills that came out of nowhere or whatnot, but Binnington was also a late bloomer. I just don't see that in him. And if I were the Carolina Hurricanes, I would definitely look into going and acquire another goalie. And there's a lot of goalies there's a lot of teams that have 3 goalies. The Buffalo Sabres, Luukkonen, Ellis, and Lyon. You know, one of those. Maybe if they can, I think I would go more for Luukkonen, because then you can have him a little bit long-term with Kochetkov and have a 1-2 combination. Montreal has Fowler, Dobish, and Montembeau. Montembeau slowly regaining form. Look good again today versus the Dallas Stars. Maybe that's an option. I mean, there's options out there for sure. I just don't think they stay the course till playoffs. I think between now and the trade deadline, Carolina should make a move and most likely will make a move. All right. Now I want to move on to, we got three topics left on this Odd Man Rush. Two of them include youngsters, and I want to go and start talking about the youngsters and the Montreal Canadiens. Juraj Slafkovský is having a coming out party. The coming out party we expected him to have maybe last year. And the best thing that might have happened to him, which to him might have been the worst thing at the time, was being taken off that line with Suzuki and Caulfield. He's now on a line with Kapanen and Demidov, and he's a totally different player. He's driving play, something that we didn't see much of when he was on the top line. He's driving play. He's shooting more. He always gets his hits in. He's lethal on the power play. He's got 14 power play points in 42 games. So he's found a niche there. He's a big boy. He gets under everybody's skin, and he backs himself up with play. You know, so look, he has a bit of a high shooting percentage at 17.6. I get that. That might go down a little bit, but I don't see it dropping drastically enough that his stats will hinder his stats. So, I mean, Slafkovský is a good bet from now to the end of the season. He's probably at his highest. This is probably the lowest value he'll have if you want to go trade for him. Maybe you're lucky enough that someone thinks that it's just a hot streak and that it'll go away. Look, it doesn't hurt you to inquire about Slafkovský. By all means, you should, and just see what the price is. Not every GM thinks like you. Remember that. And look, if the price is too high, the price is too high. You move on. But you should do your due diligence and inquire for sure. So, yeah, I wanted to mention Juraj Slafkovský. We're already at 42 minutes here, and I'm doing this by myself. So maybe I do talk too much. the other guy is Lane Hutson. And I know we talk of him so much. We talk about him all the damn time. And any non-Habs fan is probably so annoyed about hearing about this guy. Every discussion, he finds himself in it. And the reality is that he's on pace for 82 damn points. Even I, Lane Hutson stan, from the beginning, I'm the one who said in his rookie year, if he starts with the team, he's going to get you 50 points. And Vince thought I was crazy. Nick gave me a high five, but even he thought I was like lethargic. So even I, that was probably one of his biggest fans, didn't expect him to be at the level of Quinn Hughes and Cale Makar. I think we can officially say Cale Makar is actually in a league of his own. I think that's a tier that no one in this current era will attain. He's just too good in all aspects of the game. But I really do think that Lane Hutson and Quinn Hughes can and should be mentioned in the same damn sentence. Lane Hutson has 7 goals, which is already one more than he had all of last year. 35 assists, 42 points. So he's pacing for 20... My math sucks. He's pacing for 16 more points than he did last year. He's a plus 13. He plays in all aspects of the game. You need a goal, they put him on. They're not afraid to put him on defending a lead. You know, he's small in stature, but he's so damn smart that he gets away with his defensive play. He learns how to play within his means. And that's so important when a guy is small, because all you have to rely on are your instincts, your skill, and your perception of what's going on. His body positioning when he's playing defense is excellent. He always finds himself to put himself in the right situations. And now I know you guys, you're all going to start saying, yeah, but he gives the puck away. Look how he gave the puck away and St. Louis scored. He plays 24 minutes a game. 24 minutes a game. Out of the 24 minutes, during 20 minutes, he has the puck on his stick. Anybody's going to give the damn puck away when you have the puck on your stick for 20 minutes a game. You know? And, you know, you want to talk stats? I'll give you more stats. Quinn Hughes, who most of you think Hudson can attain that level, has a ratio of giveaway takeaway of 0.27. He's got 51 giveaways and 14 takeaways this year. Zach Werenski, who, when healthy, is among the best in the league. 0.31 ratio of giveaway takeaway, 65 giveaways, 20 takeaways. These are two defensemen that 90% of the league will take before Lane Hudson. Lane Hudson, 0.35 his giveaway takeaway ratio. 51 giveaways, the same as Quinn Hughes, with only 18 giveaways, which is more, but his ratio is based off more games played because Quinn Hughes has missed some games. So, you know, like, you want to talk about giveaways, everybody's going to give away the puck. Anybody who has the puck that much will give it away. It's inevitable. Even Makar gives away pucks. He just has a much better ratio because he has a better takeaway. He has a lot more takeaways than they do. That's why Makar's in a level of his own. He's in a tier of his own. He's like the McDavids of the world and the McKinnons of the world. No one else is getting to that level. At least not anybody yet. So I think it's very important that you understand that Lane Hudson is here. He's arrived and he's only getting better. And he's going to be part of that second tier after Makar in no time. All right. From one duo to the next. Since Will Smith's injury, Chernyshov has been called up and he's had 8 points in 7 games. He's been paired on a line with Eklund and Celebrini. And they've been absolutely amazing together. Like I said, he's got 8 points in 8 games right now in the season. Where was he? Chernyshov, this is, of course, 5 points in those last 4 games. What this tells me is that Macklin Celebrini makes those around him better. And for a 19-year-old, that is absolutely ridiculous. Completely ridiculous. So I just wanted to stand out that Igor Chernyshov is legit. I was saying how he's a good complement to one of the top two lines. And that could be true. But what could also be true is that he's a 60-point to 70-point player. Now, maybe if he doesn't play with Celebrini, maybe he's not a 60 to 70-point player. Maybe he's a 50 to 60-point player. But regardless, Chernyshov is a good player. He's going to be fantasy relevant, and he's on a damn hot streak right now, and he's got the opportunity to keep getting points. So if you have a chance to go get Chernyshov in your leagues, now's the time to do it. Lastly, sticking with the San Jose Sharks, Alex Wennberg. Womp, womp, womp. I know we're talking, going Celebrini, Chernyshov to Wennberg. Alex Wennberg signs a 3-year extension at $6 million AAV. What I like about Wennberg, I mean, despite he's actually having a pretty good year. He's pacing for 52 points. He hasn't paced for 52 points since 2016-2017. He's a nice veteran presence at 31 years old. But he's one of those 200-foot players who can block. He's really good in the face-off dot. He's at 45%. Wins on the faceoff, gets some power play time, some shorthanded time. He does a bit of everything and provides a bit of stability on the center depth chart for the San Jose Sharks. So I really like this addition. I think it's a guy that you could plug and play when you need, if the matchups are right. And congratulations to him and the San Jose Sharks, who are building really, they're really building something nice. So, guys, thanks for listening to The Odd Man Rush. That is a wrap. And now, a word from our sponsor. The jaw-dropping moments that make hockey, hockey. Experience them all with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Missouri listeners, listen up. DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in the Show Me State. New customers, this one's for you. Bet just $5, and if your bet wins, you'll get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN to turn $5 into $200 in bonus bets if your bet wins. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas. Pass-through of per wager tax may apply in Illinois. 21 plus age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bet must win to receive bonus bets, which expire in 7 days. Minimum odds required. For additional terms and responsible gaming, resources, see dkng.co/audio. Limited time offer. Copyright NHL 2025. All rights reserved. And now... Oh, yes, the PBLL standings. Let me give you a wrap of what went down this week. Are the games over? Let me just double check here. Are the NHL games over? They are. So we have an official standing. During this last period, Commissioner Listener Bats won. Took the throne, if you will, with 181.2 points. David Hockey close second at 179.2 points. Those are points for this last week, of course, this last period. But as for the total season, Drow 22 is in first place, Vito P in second place, and Commissioner Listener Bats 2 in third place. Let's just take a look quickly at... Listener Bats' team for this period to give you guys an idea of really what worked maybe compared to what you did. Let's take a look here. So from the Carolina Hurricanes, who this week played 5 games, he had Sebastian Aho and Andrei Shevchenkov, as well as Jackson Blake and goaltender Brandon Boosie at $775, by the way, salary. All he added, Macklin Celebrini, who's just a point machine. Excuse me, Brad Marchand, Matt Boldy, Lane Hudson, Darren Radish. Oh, by the way, Darren Radish also got a hat trick. I missed him in the hat trick heroes. He's been an absolute revelation this year, with or without Hedman in the lineup. This guy's been producing. Sorry, I'm going a bit on a tangent here, but it's he's a very important player to miss out on. So, yes, Darren Radish, hat trick hero this week as well. In terms of average points, Sebastian Aho averaged 7.22 points this year. He had 9 points in 5 games. So this is a situation where the 5 games did help. You know, when the Rangers played 5 games, it was abysmal. The Carolina Hurricanes played 5 games and their players actually got points. Should take note, Rangers fans. Zvechnikov, 4 points only in 5 games played, but he also did take 17 shots on goal. He also had 5 hits, so it was a bit of an all-around thing. Jackson Blake, though, struggled. 1 goal, 0 assists. But despite that, he had Sebastian Aho at 7.2 fantasy points per game. He had Macklin Celebrini at 6.9 fantasy points per game. Darren Radish at 8.57. And Brad Marchand at 5.38. Those players all with 5-plus fantasy points per game. Andrei Svechnikov and Lane Hudson had 4-plus fantasy points per game, as well as Brandon Boosie. So... basically, everything he touched, aside from maybe Jackson Blake, was gold. And the difference between him and David Hockey was 2 points. So I want to go take a look at David Hockey's team last week and just to give you an idea of maybe what the difference was. So he also had Sebastian Aho, he had Nathan MacKinnon, he also had Matt Boldy, Marcus Johansson, Ivan Demidov, William Eklund, Lane Hudson, Denton Matichuk, and Jet Greaves. So Nathan MacKinnon had 7+ fantasy points. Wait, let me check that out. Sorry about that. Okay, so Sebastian Aho had 7+ fantasy points. Nathan MacKinnon had 8+ fantasy points. Boldy cancels out, right, because they both had him. Marcus Johansson, 3+ fantasy points. Ivan Demidov, 2.97. Eklund, 2.37. Hudson and Denton Matichuk, both with 4+ fantasy points. And Jet Greaves with 6.3 fantasy points. I think the difference comes down to Marcus Johansson, Demidov, and Eklund were all just 3 or just under 3 fantasy points per game, whereas Bats had an extra player at 4+ fantasy points per game. Guys, sometimes it's as little as that, the difference. So every little selection, every single selection counts. Let's take a look at the schedule this week. So the hard part of doing this alone is that you're the only one talking. And when you're the only one talking, you have to have all your windows open so that you don't lose time in between takes searching for what you want to talk about. But I hate having windows open. I hate having millions of windows open. So I'm just, when someone else is talking, I'll type in what I need to see. And it gives me that time to even have a sip of water. But so yeah, that's the hard part. And also I apologize if there's some dead air time here as I look at the schedule. Okay, so for the week of January 5th, we have one team that is playing 2 games, and that is the Tampa Bay Lightning. So you know, I don't want to say you might want to stay away from their players because they score a lot of goals, but I think there's enough options out there that you might not need to take a chance on Tampa Bay players this week. There's no team playing 5 games this week, so that's nice. And about 13 teams are playing 4 games, so let me list them for you. The Anaheim Ducks are playing 4 games, the Boston Bruins, the Calgary Flames, the Columbus Blue Jackets, the LA Kings, the Nashville Predators, the Ottawa Senators, the San Jose Sharks, the Seattle Kraken, the Utah Mammoth, the Vegas Golden Knights, the Washington Capitals, and the Winnipeg Jets. Okay, so last week, I jumped on the Winnipeg Jets because I thought they were going to turn it around. And usually what happens when I do stuff like that, I did the same thing with Kempe 2 weeks ago, and I was always a week early. So I wonder now this week if I should go again with the Winnipeg players thinking that they're actually going to turn things around. But let me give you the quickly, you know, I want to do Vince proud here and give you the strength of schedule, the most important ones anyway. All right, here we go. So the strength of schedule, the best strength of schedule is Tampa Bay, but they're only playing 2 games, so we want to stay away from that. The Colorado Lightning are playing 3. Oh my God. Colorado Lightning. Wow. The Colorado Avalanche, who are playing the Lightning, by the way, have 3 games this week versus Tampa, Ottawa, and Columbus. They have the second best schedule of the week. And a very similar strength of schedule is the Utah Mammoth, but they play 4 games. So they play the Rangers, the Senators, the St. Louis Blues, and the Columbus Blue Jackets. So you might want to take a look at the Utah Mammoth. They have some nice contracts there. You know, like even their stars like Keller and Genther, or Gunther, depending on how you want to pronounce it, they make under $9 million each. So that could be a good combination. Or if you want to just use one of them, Gunther's been on absolute fire. And then I want to add noticeable or recommendations, I guess, honorable mentions. That's the word I was looking for. Edmonton Oilers, Winnipeg Jets, and San Jose Sharks also have pretty good schedules. All right. Now, I know I'm doing this alone, but it wouldn't quite be Partial Breakaway Fantasy Hockey Podcast if you did not hear from co-host Nick and producer Vince. So here's their take on what they would do this week in PBLL. And they were not shy to include the sounds of the waves or the sounds of the disco in the background. You'll see what I'm talking about. Here's Vince.
All right, peeps, here's producer Vince from the Partial Breakaway podcast. For the Pebble League this week, there's a few teams that have four games that could be very interesting. I would, for one of my teams, I would definitely look at the LC contracts for the Anaheim Ducks. I would also look at some of their good contracts, like a McTavish, maybe, because their schedule isn't too strong. And after that, I would also surprisingly look at Nashville player or Washington players. I mean, Nashville is on a hot streak right now. Their players seem to be waking up. They have some good few players, like Philip Forsberg, who's on a nice contract, even a Stamkos, who's on a nice contract. And the Capitals, too, have some very, very good players. And with Tom Wilson's injury, not knowing what's going on, one of those players has to step up now. So those are the teams I would concentrate on for Pebble Week this week. And also, at the end of the day, I'm in Mexico, hot weather. I understand why some players want to play in Tampa Bay and Florida instead of Montreal and Toronto and New York and Buffalo, because heat is better than cold. All right, peeps. Have a good night.
All right. Thank you for that, Vince. And Nick here also gave us his take, and we'll let him tell you what he had to say.
Hey, co-host Junior, this is co-host Nick coming to you from the beautiful beaches of Riviera Maya. First, I'd like to congratulate you on doing this episode all by yourself. I'm sure it's just as entertaining as always and filled with possibly good information that people could actually listen to, because let's face it, out of us three co-hosts, you might be the only one that actually provides some substance. Well, I'm glad that you're doing a really good job. I'm going to talk to you about my LPHL lineup. Actually, not my LPHL lineup. Sorry, I'm a little bit on vacation still. So my PBLL, Pebble lineup of the week. And I have Celebrini and Carlson as my two centers, with Cutter Gauthier, Morgan Geeky, Dora Faya, because I needed a cheap contract. Now, the first four guys that I mentioned, Celebrini, Carlson, Gauthier, and Geeky, I believe they're all playing four times this week. And let's face it, they're some of the best streamers available. Adrian Kempe is also playing four times this week. He has really been a solid contributor week in and week out for Los Angeles. Matthew Schaefer with a beautiful OT goal yesterday to beat Boston. Jacob Trinkin is having a revolutionary year. I spent some money there. And I think Jeremy Swayman actually has the easiest schedule out of everybody. So I ended up going with Jeremy Swayman. Goaltending is super important in Pebble, so please make sure that you are choosing the correct goalers for this week to stop the puck. Guys, I hope you're enjoying this episode. Honestly, I wish I was there to do this, but I wish I was here because it's minus 22 right now in Montreal, and I think it's plus 25 where I am right now. Sunny, gorgeous weather here in Mexico. The food is great. Thank you for asking. And we're having a good time. I hope this episode treats you well, and looking forward to being back in the studio or remote or whatever we do next week. All right? Have a good one, guys.
All right. Thank you, producer Vince and co-host Nick. So there's their take on what they would do. I'm looking here to tell you the truth. I like Ottawa's schedule. I might dip my toes in Ottawa. I haven't done my lineup just yet. I also do like the Utah Mammoth, like we discussed earlier. And I think there was another team I liked. I agree with Nick. I think Swayman has a nice schedule this week. They're playing four games. He should get three of them. At Seattle, at home versus Calgary, and then there's a back-to-back Rangers in Pittsburgh. He'll get one of those. Hopefully it's the Rangers since they don't score any goals. I really like that. I might copy him on that one, even though the last time I did that, it didn't work out. And I like Vegas. I really like Vegas' schedule. Winnipeg is struggling. They're playing Columbus, Seattle, St. Louis, and San Jose. So I really like Vegas' schedule. They're really slumping of late. They just got Eichel back, so maybe there can be some fireworks next week. I really like Vegas. I also really like Winnipeg. I don't know if I want to get bitten twice by them. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. But it's definitely things. Like, there's multiple options available here. And I noticed last week, and I know we're running late here already, an hour in, and I thought this was going to be much shorter because I was doing it alone. But there was a lot to talk about. What I realized last week is sometimes by putting, I was always focused on duos, and I would do duos in both team and both of my teams, and I would just not choose the same teams, if you will. But what I did last week is that I started putting on one team, I started putting just like the best players of the teams I thought were going to score a lot of goals. So not necessarily duos, but just maybe the best players or the best players that I could afford at least in one team. And that worked last week. Maybe I'll try that. I'll try my shot again and take a bit of everybody and see where that takes me this week. And maybe I could climb up the rankings a little bit. But there's no sure thing in this league. Whether you start the same players from the beginning to the end, or you change your lineups based off strategies of duos, or if you change your strategy based off all players who play four games, or if you just take who you think has the best strength of schedule, from 1 week to the next, it may work or it may not. And, you know, part of that is luck, and part of that is patience with your own strategy, or simply, you know, at the end of the day, it might come down to luck, because everyone has access to the same players, and on any given week, some can excel and some may not. Guys, I want to thank you for tuning in for 1 hour and 6 minutes to this rattled voice here. I was a little nervous to start, but this was fun. This was fun. I enjoyed it. I hope you did too. I know I went on and on and on and on, as Vince and Nick probably expected. I'm sure I'll hear from them, and you will too, on the next main episode. But look, stay tuned. We're going to have, I'll do Fantasy Lens that will be released on Wednesday. The topic is still to be confirmed, but I'll be alone for that one as well. And then the boys are back. Next Monday, we're going to have the boys back, and it'll be a full entertaining show with so much to talk about. Maybe they'll touch on a few things we touched on this week, like the Olympics and so on. And we'll know who won the World Juniors. And as we speak, I'm missing a hell of a third period. It's 4-3 Czech Republic with just under 5 minutes to play. So I'm going to go tune into that as we end this episode. Thanks again for tuning in. I love you guys. Thank you for supporting us. And again, the best and easiest way to support us is via social media. Follow us on X, TikTok, and Instagram at Partial Break Pod. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Have a great week, everybody, and Happy New Year.